This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about, well, we talk about fishing and hunting. And we talk about the great outdoors. That's what we do. So we're here every Saturday from 5 to 7 in this time slot, live, usually in person, and we're here to take your phone calls when it comes to the great outdoors. Anything you'd like to talk about. Weather, that's outdoors. Fishing, that's getting ready to get started. The trout stocking schedule is in full-blown mood here for March, and a lot of places are being stocked, and a lot of places you can go catch trout. Perch runs are starting, I guess. I haven't heard a lot of reports, but they're starting. There'll be the yellow perch run, the white perch run. We've got some stuff going on offshore as far as the tautog and black sea bass, but not much. We have I guess the only thing left now in hunting season is the snow goose conservation season is what they call it. Actually, it's the wipe them all out season. And some of the guys on the shore have been still out, still doing well. We saw hunt yesterday. We hunted on Bill Miles and I hunted on Monday in Kent County, and we want to thank folks at the Upper Bay Gun Club for helping us out with that. And we I think we took pretty much one toll, and then there was one single, one toll, and we had eight guns, and total geese for the day was 22. And I was blessed enough to take the only blue goose I've ever had an opportunity to take. And that goose was a nice, mature bird, and he is at the taxidermist right now. But we're here to take your phone calls at 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680. 410-922-6680. So let's talk to Jerry in Dundalk first. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
You know you could also drink blue goose.
Yes, I understand that.
All right, now, in regards to Betsy, I don't think deep in her heart she wants to sell the property. I just want the adjacent acreage. I'm not interested in the house.
Jerry.
Yes.
Listen, you're talking outside the box here, buddy. This is a conversation that you need to have with the real estate agent.
I called them numerous times, sir.
Jerry,
at wit's end.
You're at wit's end? Why? They won't call you back? Is that what you're saying?
Jerry,
I don't want to have this conversation on the air. This involves something.
We're not mentioning any last names.
Jerry.
Hello?
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Do you have my email?
No, I should have started 69 when you call. I don't have a computer. I don't want a computer.
All right, leave your number with our producer, and I will call you after the show.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Wow, Jerry's the one that called up a while back, and there was a house for sale that was in the Fishing and Hunting Journal, and I connected him with the owner and with the real estate agent, and I don't know. So, anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number here. I was telling you a little bit about the snow goose hunt. We had a great hunt. There were probably, 500, 600 birds. on a field adjacent to where we set up to hunt. They left the field. They came in. We had some great guys there from Carroll and Frederick counties, and everybody was ready. Everybody got to shoot. Everybody had a good time, and we got 20-some birds, 20 couple, low 20s, 21, 22. We don't really know. I don't really remember the number, but I focused on one bird. I saw a beautiful blue goose, which is a color phase of a snow goose. It's a morph is what they call it. It's a genetic thing. And I kept concentrating on that bird, and eventually it fell out. So we had a good shoot. We had a good shoot. I can't wait to take those snow geese and strip them in, you know, little half inch strips and marinate them in some teriyaki and let them sit overnight in the refrigerator and then toss them on the grill. They are extremely good to eat when done that way. You could always crock pot them if you want to. And again, Dale from Easton, his favorite crock pot recipe is to just take and dump a can of, the Heinz jar of gravy, chicken gravy. I like mushroom gravy. I like to throw a few onions in there. And a can of chicken stock, or chicken broth, either one. And dump it in there and throw your goose, season up your goose. If you want to season it with salt and pepper, that's good. If you want to season it with some, one of those, Montreal steak mix or J.O. Spice actually makes a really good deer seasoning, a venison seasoning that I like to use. I've used their waterfowl seasoning. I just like their venison seasoning a little better on the dark meat that is Canada goose or snow goose. You throw it in a crock pot. And you let it go for a while, and you just, you'll know when it's done. You take it out, and you just kind of put it in the refrigerator, let it cool overnight, slice it real thin the next morning, and, eat it on some crackers or toast or what toast points or whatever you want to have. It's really good that way. So that's the way I eat geese. A couple things coming up this week. There's a public meeting, a couple of them. One is on Wednesday, March 9th, at Annapolis High School. That's on 2700 Reaver Road in Annapolis. And then the other one is March 14th, and that's at 7. That's at South Hagerstown High School, 1101 South Potomac Street in Hagerstown. Those public meetings deal with the proposed regulations, the changes to the 2016 through 2018 hunting regulations. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Depending on the phone calls, but now we'll talk to Doug in Harford County. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
I've been seeing these guys off of Route 40 trying to catch these yellow and white perch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't seen anybody catching them.
Right.
And yesterday, I live right on the water on Bush River, and the guys at the pier, they caught a yellow perch.
Right.
I was just wondering, when are they going to really be here?
If I knew that, I'd buy a lottery ticket the same day.
Do you know anything about bait for these guys, for the yellow perch?
Yeah, I mean, we had Keith Lockwood on a couple weeks ago, and he talked all about the baits for yellow perch. But basically a small jig, a shad dart with a little twister tail on it. I personally like the 1/8 ounce a little better than the smaller ones. I mean, you can get them down to a 1/64 of an ounce. But I like, for the yellows, I like to use an 1/8, maybe even a 1/4 ounce. Put it under a bobber, put a little tube on there, and you can use that by itself. Or, I like to add a bull minnow on the end. Night crawlers work well. A lot of guys use grass shrimp. I mean, just a piece of night crawler works well. A lot of guys like to use grass shrimp for the yellow perch. Grass shrimp are, a little hard to keep on the hook and don't live very long, but they work. There's no question they work.
So, I just heard you talking about hooking up a goose or a duck. What would be the best way that you would cook these guys?
What, a yellow perch?
Yeah.
Well, you could always fillet them. But I like them. I like to fry them with the skin on and make it nice and crispy. So you have to scale it. If you fillet it, of course, you don't have to scale it.
Yeah, I do. I like the skin, too. It's not good for you, but I like it anyway.
Well, why isn't it good for you?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I just heard.
Oh, well, no.
I guess the fatty or whatever it is.
Well, the fat on a fish is, you know, is where the trouble comes in, and those areas can be easily taken care of after you cook the fish. The fat is primarily concentrated in the belly meat and along the lateral line. That dark strip of meat along the side of a fish, you know, I typically don't eat that at all on any type of fish. You know, salmon, bluefish, tilapia, whatever I am eating at the time, that comes off because that's where the fishy taste is because that's where the fat is concentrated. That's also where any toxins that could be in the water are collected in that. You know, when they warn you about eating certain fish and that's where it is, the belly meat, the lateral line, and then there's a couple fatty deposits around the fins. And I just don't eat those areas. I just, you know, concentrate on the nice thick fillet. So,
I'm getting my license today. I've never got my license this early, but I see these guys, you know.
Sure.
I love fish. I'm going to go ahead and get my license today.
Well, good. I enjoy it.
I am. I'm going to go fishing probably Monday or Tuesday when it's a little warmer. But
yep. Well,
thanks for talking to me. And,
have a great day.
Guys, have a good day.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Here's what the DNR Fishing Report says. Yellow perch have been on the minds of lots of anglers for the past couple of weeks, and when warm weather kicks in, the interest increases. Everyone enjoys getting out and spending some time near a favorite fishing spot to take a chance of being in the right spot at the right time. Yellow perch are being caught in a lot of areas lately, with most being males that are still green in the upper spawning locations. The larger females are holding in holes farther downstream since the water temperatures in most of the tributaries of the middle and lower bay are holding in low 40s. Water temperatures may entice the perch to get a little more serious about spawning since temperatures above 46 to about 54 is the spawning temperature range. Paul Piavis, a biologist, the strong 2011 year class of yellow perch should be 10 inches or better this year. That the 2013, 14, and 15 year classes were also strong. It generally takes about 3 years for a yellow perch to reach 9 inches in length. Now, there's some nice perch. There is a yellow perch map that is created in Google Maps that shows the historical yellow perch landing locations. And you can click on that if you just go to the latest fishing report from the DNR DNR website. And there it is. There's the traditional map, and it's almost interactive there. Yellow perch fishing in Maryland on Google Maps, and there they are, the little blue dots. If you click on that one, it tells you that that's the Patuxent River at Wason's Corner. If you click on that one, it tells you that's Tuckahoe Creek near Hillsboro. Click on that one, it says Earlville Wildlife Management Area. And here's one down below Washington, Mattawoman Creek. And it's pretty interesting little map. You just click on the button you want to click on. There's the Uriville Pond. So it's all good. It's all good. So all that about yellow perch. Now, let's talk about a little bit of these hunting and trapping regulation changes. There's that public meeting. There's two public meetings that I talked about. Number one, providing false information is prohibited. That's a change. You would think it would have been a natural thing that you shouldn't be able to report false information on a deer check-in. Well, it says add language to the existing regulation requiring the check-in for deer and turkeys to clarify that it is illegal to knowingly provide false information during the check-in process. It's knowingly illegal. It's illegal to knowingly provide false information during the check-in process. What this means is hunters may knowingly provide false information during the check-in process to cover an illegal act. In other words, check in two ghost does throughout the season to cover an illegal act, which means they could take a bonus deer, which if they've never actually taken the does and they just call it in on the check-in system, well, that's against the law. This would include registering an antlered deer as an antlerless deer, a non-bearded turkey as bearded, or claiming to have killed a deer they did not kill. That covers it pretty succinctly. So including registering an antler deer as an antlerless deer. So you kill, you know, let's say a 4-point, and you go, I know there's something better out there, so I'll just check this in as a doe. And this typically happens to people that you know, cut their own deer, that process their own deer at home, skin them and cut them up. And a lot of people do that because it's not a very difficult thing to do. Hold on. So the rationale behind this is to clarify that it is illegal to knowingly provide false information when registering a deer or turkey harvest via the various check-in mechanisms provided by the department. Various. You phone it in or you go online and check it in. There are no physical check-in stations anymore. Okay, so it used to be during the old check-in process, and people could still cheat, but you take a deer, you take it to a check-in station, you're required to check it in by law. People that ignored the law then will ignore the law now. But this just clarifies that that is illegal. We call those people poachers. Now, for turkeys and for bears, the proposal is to create a set distance. For example, 150 yards, the turkey hunters and turkeys must be from an artificial feeding or bait source to remain legal when hunting during the fall turkey season only in Allegheny, Garrett, and Washington counties. Only in Allegheny, Garrett, and Washington counties. There was comments at the stakeholders meeting that this should be included in spring turkey season and should be statewide. But when it came right down to the final analysis, and the final proposal, this is talking about the fall turkey season only. Not talking about the winter season, not talking about the spring season, talking about the fall turkey. The rationale behind this is that this change is intended to resolve confusion over what constitutes hunting turkeys with the aid of bait. Additionally, by setting a definitive distance, it will allow turkey hunting on those tracts of land where some areas have been legally baited for deer hunting. So the conflict is in those three counties. You've got deer season, and you're allowed to bait. You're allowed to put corn out, feeders, whatever, to attract deer. And those same areas, of course, those same woodlands contain turkeys. So in the fall turkey season, which is typically the first week of November, that corresponds with the deer rut. Okay, so you got a number of bow hunters out there that are deer hunting, and the turkey hunters, you know, they're kind of this is on private land now. The turkey hunters are kind of disqualified from hunting there where the bait is. So what they're saying is, if we have a feeder out here, then the hunter can still hunt that property as long as he's whatever that set distance is away from that deer feeder, as long as he and the turkey are outside of that circle, then it's legal to harvest that turkey, and one wouldn't be considered baiting that turkey. So can you lie in wait for a turkey and shoot it 200 yards from a bait pile? Absolutely. Can you, you know, but there seems to be in Western Maryland a conflict there, so they're planning on making that a regulation. Same thing goes for bear. Set a distance, 150 yards, or, for example, that bear hunters and bears must be from an artificial feeding and bait source to remain legal when hunting in the bear hunting zone. There have been people charged with bear baiting simply because they've been on the same tract of land as there are the deer feeders, corn piles, you know, static feeders or whatever it might be. So these are the proposed regulations. And then the other bear hunting regulation is to expand the hunting zone to include Washington and Frederick counties, which is a pretty good idea because those areas are rife with bears in Washington and Frederick counties. So the other proposal for bear hunting is to allow the sub-permittee to hunt black bears regardless of whether the permittee is hunting. They did away with the mandatory, you know, Sunday orientation. This is what a bear looks like. This is where you'll find bears. This is how you field dress bears, blah, blah, blah. That has been done away with. They have loosened the sub-permittee regulations somewhat. This is probably the final step. Whereas if I pull a bear tag and I name you as my sub-permittee and report that to the department, that's about 2 weeks before the season, so they have a record of who's on my license. Or if you pull a tag and name me, and you can't go after, you know, Monday or Tuesday, you can only hunt, let's say, one day, well, then the sub-permittee can remain and hunt bears. Sub-permittee can remain and hunt bears without the actual physical presence of the permittee, the person who drew the tag. That's how that works. That's the proposal. We'll talk a little bit more about that if you want. If you have any questions, we ask that you would call 410-922-6680 is our phone number. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about our friends at Clyde's Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, and that's just off Beltway exit number 9. Here's what's going on. They're having a sale coming up March 18th. Now, of course, you can get all your fishing supplies, your licenses, your bait, the fishing report, and that fishing report number is 410-247-3474, 247-FISH for simplicity. But the sale is coming up on March 18th through Sunday, March 27th. It's 10 days, a 10-day sale, as they've had for many, many, many years. All Rockfish trolling baits and lures are going to be on sale. You can take your empty reel spools in and have them filled with premium monofilament line for half price from only 1 cent per yard. Now, that doesn't include the Power Pro line, but, you know, your Strand and your Berkeley and that type of thing is all available at half price. The Penn Reel Special this year is on the new Warfare. Warfare 30 level wind, and there's a picture of it here, for just $89.95. That's a great trolling, reel. There's also trolling combos on sale starting at $89.95 with a rod, reel, and line, a Penn 309 reel. And then there's the most popular trolling combos, the Penn 330 GT2 with an Andy rod, a 20 to 50-pound rod, and line. That's $139.95. So check it out. All the Shakespeare and Fluger rods and reels are on sale. All the Ugly Stick rods are on sale. They have a full line of St. Croix rods as well you can check out. And they've got everything for fishing at Clyde Sport Shop. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sport Shop. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
On the next Sean and Frank, results from Saturday's primaries, plus an Article 5 convention here in Maryland, Monday morning 5 to 9 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Taking the line,
dragging the line. We've adapted that to fishing here, of course. So anyway, bears, turkeys, a couple things on deer. Not a lot. One has to do with the chronic wasting disease transport restriction to allow whole carcasses from other CWD positive areas to be brought into Maryland, and to a CWD approved processor taxidermist. The rationale of that is the restrictions associated with CWD management can deter hunters from hunting in a particular area. Lack of hunter effort results in increased deer numbers, which can promote the spread of the disease. More deer, more opportunities for the deer to spread the chronic wasting disease. Removal of restrictions such as carcass transport can aid with regional deer control and hunter compliance and CWD management. So, in other words, what they're saying is we're going to reverse it. What we had before, carcass transport does not appear to be a significant cause of the spread of CWD. Allowing whole carcasses to be brought into our CWD management area or to approve CWD taxidermists and processors should not increase the rate of expansion of CWD in Maryland. So it's a pretty common sense thing there. Going to allow you to use electronic calls for deer and remove the county restrictions for sick of deer hunting. So, in other words, open all counties to legal sick of deer harvest will help prevent further expansion of the population into areas outside of the occupied range. The longstanding goal of the Department for Sick of Deer is to maintain a sustainable population primarily in Dorchester County. This species has expanded into Caroline and Somerset and Wicomico counties. Matter of fact, state record was shot in Wicomico County. And it is... Excuse me, didn't press the button, and it just came on too quick. And is present in Worcester County from the Assateague Island introduction. Confirmed sightings and harvest of sick of deer have occurred as far north as Kent County, Maryland. Sick of deer have been shown to cause significant crop damage where they currently exist outside of southern Dorchester County. So, go to the public meeting or comment online. March 15th is the final day to comment. Reading some of the comments are pretty interesting. When you go online to the DNR site, and you can find this by just going to DNR and going to the news site, you'll see it right there. Let's talk to Tony in Delaware. Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Pretty good, Alan.
Good. What's up?
I had spoken to you in December about the CVA muzzleloader, and you couldn't recall at that time what bullet you were shooting. Did you ever?
I looked at it the other day. I'm not sure if it's called a precision bullet or not. Doggone it. Yeah, I looked the other day. I was up at Brownstone Trading Company, and I looked the other day, for some reason, it's a blank when I try to think about the name of it.
All right. Well,
do you have email, Tony?
Pardon?
Do you have email?
No.
You don't do email. Okay.
No. But I got another question.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. They came out with a longer barrel version. It's a 30-inch barrel.
Right.
For 200 yards, better accuracy. What's your opinion on that? I'm not really going to shoot 200 yards.
Well, nobody is. I mean, certainly if you're going to sight that critter in, muzzleloader in to shoot 200 yards, if you have an opportunity to do that, it'll certainly get the job done at 200 yards. Furthest we've ever shot a deer with a muzzle loader was 110 yards. And did a great job, no question about it. But you've got to have it sighted in just right. And remember, that one shot, you better have a good rest. You're not going to be doing that offhand, or you're going to risk injuring that animal or a total miss. I'd rather see the total miss, quite frankly. But
well, what's the benefit of a longer barrel? What's the reason behind it?
Well, the benefit is that they claim it adds distance. It's just like a longer shotgun barrel, you know. The shot comes out the end of the barrel quicker and has a more of an opportunity to disperse before it gets to the target. And as far as when it comes to a muzzleloader ball, you get a longer spin time. I don't know that the bullet spins any faster or any goes any further or not than a from a you know, 28 to a 30 inch barrel with a muzzle loader. Maybe a muzzle loader guy could tell me the difference that that 2 inches makes, but, you know, it would be consistent with marketing, you know, to tell you that you can shoot at 200 yards with a 2 inch or 4 inch longer barrel. I don't know.
Kind of what I'm thinking. It's just a marketing play.
It's popular. It's coming out now. There's a couple of them out there with a 30 inch barrel. We've got one, as a matter of fact, that was generously donated by Hafer's Gunsmithing. We've got a nice lightweight Vortec muzzle loader that has a 30 inch barrel. And, you know, it's 50 caliber. But, you know, the thing continues to be the situations that you find yourself in. If you want to drive tacks at 200 yards or have an opportunity, you know, you've got to stand on the edge of a field and, you know, the deer, you've got them ranged in at 200 yards or whatever. You better have your firearm sighted in for 200 yards, especially a muzzle loader. You know, most guys sight them in for 50 yards because that's where they hunt. They hunt the woods and, you know, they might shoot the edges of the field. They might shoot them in at 50 yards or 100 yards even. But after that, you know, that heavy ball depends on, you know, what you use. You know, that's gonna start to drop a little bit. So if you're gonna consistently shoot 200 yards, then go out and practice on the range at 200 yards. You with me on that?
All right, buddy.
You with me on that?
You answered my question. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
look up your bolt and just say it over the air one time.
Well, I will. I just can't, you know.
It's not
a priority. So
it's exactly. I understand. It's fishing season, but
well, not even that.
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right,
appreciate it, Tony.
Thank you.
Bye bye. There he goes. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do that. I've done it a couple times. I just haven't been able to log it into my brain the right way, but I will. So 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. There's a waterfowl meeting coming up too. I think it's Chesapeake College. Is it the 8th, the 7th? When is it? Better look that up here in a minute. Didn't look it up during the break. Thought about it, but I didn't look it up, so I'll get to that. But we do need a phone call. 410-WCBM6. Have any of you been out fishing? Are you going fishing? Is this cold weather and crazy weather, prevented you from going or not? Are you out there fishing? I'm hearing some diehards are out there catching some fish here and there, but it's not been exactly setting the world on fire. So if you've had a good day, let me know. I think this week coming up is going to be the key, going to be the kicker. I think that it's going to be a wonderful week once that water temperature warms up a little bit. It might just be the best week of the year for the yellow perch. But we'll see. We will see. Let's see. Yeah, hunting. Whoa, that's interesting. Hunting and trapping regulations, game bird regulations. Huh, migratory birds, that's what I wanted to see. Again, comments are available through March 14th for the migratory game bird hunting season. The Building 13, March 8th at Chesapeake College. March 8th is Chesapeake College. It's going to be the only public meeting on the waterfowl regulations. And there are going to be some folks there that will be questioning some of the dates, and primarily going to be the sea duck date. They cut the sea duck season from about 100 and, I don't know, let's see, 107 days down to 60 days to protect some of the species of sea ducks. And the season, according to folks I've talked to, seems to be opening a little too early. They'd like to see it run a little later. So run from November 5th to January 13th. They're saying, you know, move that to get that end of the season in there. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens at the meeting. I probably will be there March 8th. What day is that? Is it What's March 8th? Is that Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. So March 8th at Chesapeake College is Tuesday. I'll be on the Eastern Shore. March 9th, I'm not sure if I'm going to Annapolis or not. I mean, I was at the stakeholders meeting and kind of weighed in on these proposals. At that point, I might comment online, and you can do that as well. So you got two comment periods that are open now. The waterfowl comment period closes March 14th, and the changes to the seasons for the next 2 years, 16, 17, and 17, 18 hunting seasons, will comment period closes on the 15th of March on there. And then, like I said, some of the comments online are pretty interesting. Let's see. Few comments made by others. Sunday hunting, youth elevator changed to 21. Warm weather holds the birds in the north. Junior age should be raised 18. Sea ducks. He wants it early. Cutting the sea duck season is a big mistake. A lot of businesses that thrive on sea duck hunting. Who knows? Please open the sea duck season as early as possible. Like to see sea duck season start as early as possible. It makes more sense to extend the sea duck season till January 28th to coincide with the end of duck season. Start at the 20th of November. Striper season is still in full swing November 5th. The whitetail rut for bows peaking mid-November. Most importantly, for an old guy like me, it's easier to identify drakes in January than in November. And, you know, on and on it goes. So, lots of comments on the waterfowl. And you can go right online and add your comment to the mix if you'd like. Take a little sip of coffee here. For those of you with a computer, it makes it easy to comment online on a lot of different levels. Social media, this one's important. You know, there are organizations that craft emails for you to send to your elected officials and wildlife officials and things like that. So, anyway. Yesterday was interesting. We were down in Annapolis all day yesterday. Got down there early, and waterfowl artist Jim Taylor was on hand to testify on the make the canvas back the official state duck bill, which is Senate Bill 27, sponsored by Senator Cassley out of Harford County. And Jim was there. He had a number of posters that he had designed. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition had printed to give to members of the committee from the Harvard de Grace Decoy Museum. They were distributed, and Pat Vincenti was there. He's the president of the board of the Harvard de Grace Decoy Museum. He's a well-known decoy carver and has a decoy business there in Harvard de Grace. And then Carrie Nicely was there. She's the new director of the Decoy Museum. She was there to testify. It had Margaret Enlow there, who is the director of the Waterfowl Chesapeake and the Waterfowl Festival from Easton. She testified. And Jim Taylor was there. He also testified to the shining attributes of the canvasback duck. And it was the Senate committee that heard this, environmental committee. And it was a good day. We facilitated the Senate introducing Jim Taylor on the floor of the Senate. They gave him a nice proclamation from the Senate and recognized his talents in Maryland. And he had a good day. He had a good day. Signed a lot of posters for some of the folks, and it was good. It was a good day. So we'll see what happens if our testimony was taken to heart by the committee, and we'll see if they approve the fact that we can have the canvasback named as our Maryland state duck. So that another day in Annapolis coming up, I believe the 15th, and then we've got the big gun day hearings coming up this coming week. and the following week. So there's a lot going on in Annapolis here in the second half of the General Assembly. So if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard here on the show or anything that's out there, we'd love to hear from you. Keep me from keep on yakking and yakking and yakking here at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Again, love to hear from you. Give us a call. Have you been fishing? What are your comments on some of the hunting regulations or the waterfowl seasons? It's all there for you. All public information, all good to take a look at. And if you disagree, let DNR know you disagree with the waterfowl seasons or the proposed hunting season. But right now, it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop's Ready to Rock sale, Friday, March 18th through Sunday, March 27th, coming up. All the ugly stick rods are on sale. I've been told I was hit with one when I was born, but, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. The Shakespeare and Fluger rods and reels are all on sale. The trolling combos go like this. The most popular trolling combo with a rod, reel, and line is a Penn 330 GT2. It's an Andy 6-foot rod, 20 to 50-pound class rod with a line at $139.95. The inexpensive trolling combo is $89.95 and up, of course. That comes with a Penn 309 reel, a Shakespeare rod, 6-foot rod. The rod has a roller tip and line, and it has a line on it for just $89.95. And then a Penn reel special. This is a good one, too. This is the Warfare. It's a new reel from Penn. It's the 30-weight, 30-pound line class, level wind, and that's just $89.95. Don't forget, you can take your empty spools in there and have them wound with fresh line. Just take them, you know, this weekend, whatever, just take them, strip off all that old line, take it into your empty spools and empty reels into Clyde's, and just have them spin that new line on there, starting at just 1 cent per yard, and the line is half price off the regular price. So get that done. It's a great time to do that. So it's the Ready to Rock sale, Clyde Sports Shop. That would be March 18th through Sunday, March 27th. Friday, March 18th through Sunday, March 27th. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9, 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline, 247-3474. 247-FISH is easy way to remember that number. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800.
410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hi, Baltimore. This is Mark Levin, and now you can hear 3 hours of my show every weeknight at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Slow morning, folks. Come on. One more phone call before we get out of here for the hour, and then I want you to really crank it up. 410-922-6680. And we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you. I saw my first roadkill groundhog the other day out in Carroll County. So that early spring thing, I'm not sure. I mean, we're almost 6 weeks past when we were supposed to. We saw a shadow, and that means early spring. Or we didn't see a shadow, that means early spring. I can never remember, and I don't really care, because the weather is what the weather is. And I'm wondering if we could actually change the Groundhog Day to predict on another day. I mean, it's only been a couple hundred years or whatever they've been using the animals to forecast the weather, and it hasn't turned out real well for the groundhog. You know, I mean, come on. I use animals and what I observe in the woods to predict what kind of winter we're going to have, whether it's going to be a cold winter or not. You know, the thickness of the shells on the hickory nuts, the hulls on the hickory nut, the activity of the squirrels, just different things that you see in nature and you learn to see. Is going to predict, whether it's going to be a cold winter, a long winter, a short winter, or, you know, ground's going to be frozen for too long or whatever it might be. I don't believe in the caterpillar. I don't believe in the groundhog. And I'm sorry to be such a poop this morning, but I just don't. It's just a fun thing. So I'm thinking, I don't necessarily think that there's this global warming either. Climate change? Absolutely. The climate changes all the time. It's called seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. So, you know, I see some of these things. I was reading something on the grizzly bears, the folks in Montana and Yellowstone Park are thinking about having the grizzly bears delisted. The population's over 700 now. And some of the comments were... I like to read some of the comments on some of these issues. The environmental people get in there and they start saying this and they start saying that. And of course, hunters are always the bad guy. You know, it's horrible. You know, go shoot people and don't leave the animals alone. And I mean, just kind of all that kind of stuff. But, you know, oh, the bear population really isn't increasing. It's only increased from 136 to 700 in the last 30 years, but it's not increasing. You know, it's actually the last 2 or 3 years it's declined, and it continues to decline. And, you know, I mean, I don't believe the biologists, and the biologists are paid by the state, and the state can manipulate the information, and the biologist research matches what the state wants the outcome to be, and and the reality is, none of these people have ever been out there and seen a bear. They have no idea. You know, they just don't. They believe everything that their little world encircles them with. So where am I going? I'm just talking. Started out with groundhogs in winter, didn't I? I mean, we had, what, 2, 3, 4 inches of snow yesterday. That's certainly not an early spring to me, right? Is that an early spring to you? It's cold out there. Early spring means, you know, 60s, 70s, birds are singing, building their nests, or, you know, the sun's out every day, we're enjoying a warm rain shower every now and then. Not 4 inches of snow. That's part of 6 weeks of winter. So the groundhog was wrong. Can't believe you can't believe rodents. That's what it is. You just can't believe rodents. I'm starting to get this. You just can't believe rodents, no matter how big or how small they are. Yeah, I think you're right, Brian. Like rats, they're all kind of, the whole group is untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. You dirty rat. Who said that? You dirty rat. Who said that in the movie? Who's known for that in the movies? That's correct. Yeah, Sammy the Bull was a rat. Exactly right. Yeah, so. Is he still in jail? I don't know. Boy, I sure hope we get some phone calls next hour. This is killing me. So, I have no words of wisdom. Yeah, call us, Sammy. Good idea. I like that one, Brian. Okay. Maybe you'll be awake the next hour. Maybe you're just waking up now. You missed an exciting nothing first hour, kinda. So, get that coffee on. Get all charged up. What do I have to say controversial to get you to call? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. So, as we come to the end of the music, it's time for me to say for this hour, get out, stay safe, and stay warm.